This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM. I'm Koo Soo Chong, joined by Noel Lim, and this is The Morning Run. In about 15 minutes, we'll be talking to Dr. Lee Hong Kiap of the ICS Yusof Ishak Institute on how Vietnam has handled the COVID-19 outbreak. But in the meantime, let's talk about markets. Noel, how did Asia do overnight?
Well, I don't have the numbers, you do. But I can tell you the Dow, it closed up 2.2%. The S&P was up 2.7%. NASDAQ was up 3.6%.
That's right. So Japan right now is at 20,282 points on the Nikkei. The Kospi is at 1,948 points, up by 0.7%. And the S&P ASX is up by 0.1% to 5,445 points. Now, in terms of where we are, we're going to be talking to Tony Nash, the Chief Executive of Complete Intelligence on the American markets. Tony, thank you for talking to us. American GDP shrank by 4.8% overnight, the steepest fall since the last recession. What did you think of these numbers in terms of what you expected prior?
Yeah, I think it was a bit worse than many people thought. But it wasn't as bad as it could have been. I think that was the thought that many people had. And markets tend to be looking forward. So looking at Q2, we now have big states like Texas and Florida and others that have started to open up fairly aggressively. So markets themselves are looking forward. And I think markets are looking pretty favorably on some of the opening up plans.
Well, Fed Chair Jerome Powell is calling for more action from the government. What are their options and what do you hope to see?
Well, there are options for more fiscal stimulus. The federal government could do things like an infrastructure plan. 2 years ago in his State of the Union address, the president talked about a $1.5 trillion infrastructure plan for the U.S. So they could do something like that. The states, really imposed a lot of these restrictions, the individual states, they really haven't had to pay up much aside from kind of the standard unemployment benefits. So the states could do to pony up a bit more cash than they have. They've really been relying on the federal government to pay for this whole thing, and they haven't really had any accountability for the decisions that they've made. So I think the states really need to pay up a bit in terms of fiscal stimulus.
Well, Tony, the Fed has backstopped the corporate bond market and the fixed income market for some time. Obviously, you can see that exemplified in the $6 trillion of debt on the balance sheet. Do you think there'll come a time when the Fed backstops the equity market as well?
I don't know. There's been talk about that. They've certainly done that in Japan. And gosh, the BOJ owns a lot of the ETFs in Japan. I don't necessarily see that happening in the U.S., because it's a door that once you open, it's very, very difficult to close. So it's the same question with negative interest rates. And so these are activities that once you start, they tend to be very, very hard to stop. And most of the market observers don't really want that to happen.
Okay, Tony, Q1 GDP came in minus 4.8%, but the consensus estimate of economists on Bloomberg reckon there's going to be a minus 26% drop in Q2, and even more astonishingly, I think, a 9% improvement in Q3. Do those two numbers strike you as a little bit extreme?
I think Q2 seems a little underestimated, meaning I don't necessarily think it's going to be that bad. Q3, it's possible it could be 9%. I think given how negative it could be in Q2, you could definitely see a rebound like that. But that's just a base effect in terms of quarter-on-quarter growth. So it's not necessarily a dramatic, say, year-on-year growth. In fact, year-on-year, that's actually a negative print. So one would hope that if Q1 and Q2 are so bad, that you would see a print that's at least 9% in Q3.
Yet markets charge ahead despite relatively bad macro data. What is this optimism based on?
Well, again, seeing the states open, seeing some realistic plans being put together to do this there's a balance of doing it aggressively and carefully. I know that sounds a little silly, but we're seeing some real push by Americans to want to open. So the state governments are having to probably do things a little more aggressively than they initially wanted. I think there was some concern that Q1 earnings would be worse than they are, meaning that companies may try to pack all their negative news into Q1 and in hopes that Q2 would look slightly better. But I think, sure, they've packed some of the negative news into Q1, but some of the Q1 earnings haven't been as bad as people had feared. So markets, I think, are looking forward, and the U.S. also is a, you know, it's a flight to safety. So I think we're also seeing on a relative basis, U.S. markets perform fairly well as say, non-dollar assets or overseas dollar assets come into the U.S.
Yeah, Tony, somewhat of a microcosm of what you just described. Microsoft, Facebook, and Tesla all came out last night, all better than expected. Microsoft showing some picture of health in the corporate sector. Tesla, obviously, where car sales are concerned. Then Facebook, where the ad consumer market is concerned. Can we read this optimism into Q2 and possibly even into Q3?
I think certainly Facebook and Microsoft, you know, with people sitting at home, I think those two will probably do quite well in Q2. Tesla, I wouldn't expect Tesla to do well in Q2. Auto sales have been way down in Q2. And with oil and gas prices as low as they are, the substitutionality effect of electronic from internal combustion engine cars, the incentive is not as high as it once was. So I don't necessarily see Tesla's performance to be better than expected. But then again, you know, Tesla bulls are Tesla bulls. They'll buy and they'll pump up the price regardless of how they perform in real life.
So you don't expect this to be a broader momentum for the broader market?
Again, it depends. But I think anything focused on productivity, anything focused on virtual activity, that sort of thing, will do very, very well. But things like car sales, again, they've been really difficult. Anything around entertainment or group, you know, physical in-person entertainment or group. I mean, obviously, it's just not possible or hasn't been possible for those to grow. So those are going to be really, really hard for people to get optimistic about. On the other hand, you've seen, you know, energy firms actually performing really well today. The major oil and gas firms in U.S. markets performed really well. Part of that is on the back of gossip that the U.S. Treasury may come to the rescue with some preferential financing for American oil and gas firms. Whether or not that's going to happen, we don't really know yet, but that may come to pass, which may help some of these firms.
Well, you know, talking about the oil industry, are there any structural changes they can make to improve their prospects of survival, some of these oil majors that you spoke of?
Sure, there. I mean, oil and gas firms are incredibly inefficient. So there are a lot of productivity changes that oil and gas firms could make, whether they're NOCs, the national oil companies, or the private sector majors. Oil and gas workers tend to make a lot more than other sectors. They tend to be more bloated and so on and so forth. So there are a lot of productivity measures that can be taken. For NOCs, for the national oil companies, there can be more activities taken to make them more accountable to markets. I think in Malaysia, you're lucky. Pertamina performs pretty well. But I think other NOCs don't perform as well. And I think you can see some major changes in terms of fiscal accountability if, assuming oil prices stay lower, accountability to the central governments and performance rather than the subsidies coming from central governments, as we've seen in the past, may come to pass in some countries if they can't really afford to continue to subsidize these governments. Because, you know, we're seeing emerging market and middle income country currencies come under a lot of pressure versus the U.S. dollar. And so if you're seeing energy revenues decline and you're seeing pressure on the currency, it's really hard for some of these governments to subsidize their national oil companies.
Okay. Thanks ever so much, Tony. That was Tony Nash, the Chief Executive of Complete Intelligence. And up next, we'll be talking to Dr. Lee Hong Kiap of the ICS Yusof Ishak Institute on how Vietnam has handled the COVID-19 outbreak. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.